Amen. Amen. What you don't see is most of those kids are unchurched kids that don't come to church, don't have a church family. So you're not only ministering to our church kids, it's those kids that never hear the gospel of Christ. So praise His name for that. If you have your Bibles tonight, or this morning rather, turn to Ephesians chapter number 6. I'll be mindful of the time and try to be mindful of what the Lord has laid on my heart this morning. Ephesians chapter number 6. When Pastor asked me to bring the message on this Sunday, what we call Awana Sunday, I prayed and meditated on what the Lord would have me to say, how I could encourage our children, how I could exhort them through God's Word. And no doubt in the day that we live in today, like no other time before, our children need encouragement. They need to know that someone cares. Someone loves them. Someone died for them. And I think this morning Paul is not only wanting to encourage our young people through the Word of God, but he wants to encourage this congregation, the church here at Fletcher First Baptist Church. You see, in the book of Ephesians, Paul is writing a letter to the church at Ephesus. He's encouraging the church. He's challenging the church. He's exhorting Jesus Christ and the church to take a stand, Brother Charles. He's wanting them to be encouraged. Just like Fletcher, Ephesus, that great city, it was a city of commerce. It was a city of wealth, a city of prosperity. And it seemed like the things of the world, the riches, the cares, the prestige of the world took forefront. And just as like today, Christianity was not widespread. Christianity was not politically correct. It seemed like the culture in that day was pluralistic. It means that their moral beliefs, their religious beliefs were very diverse. They were very widespread. They were very liberal. Moral depravity in that day, just like today, was overlooked. Sin was accepted. And Paul, in our text here in Ephesians, he's telling us to be encouraged. In the church of Ephesus, in the city of Ephesus, if anyone was proclaiming Christ, if anyone was to say that they had the one true religion, if they were to say that we serve a one true and living God that had only one son and there's only one way to heaven, they would have been persecuted. They would have faced challenges. They would have faced social pressure. They would have been rejected. And Paul is sitting in prison, and he's writing this church. He begins to write this letter through the divine inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and he sends it to the church at Ephesus. This morning, the letter comes to the church at Fletcher First Baptist Church. And he's saying, Paul's ending this great letter in chapter number 6, in verse number 10. He comes to the end of this letter, and in verse number 10, he says, "Finally, my brethren." Paul is telling us, last of all. He's saying one last thing. Hey, church at Ephesus. Hey, church at Fletcher First Baptist Church. Hey, Awana Clubbers, finally. If you remember one thing out of this great letter that I sent you, he's saying, finally, my brother, one last thing, last of all, here it is. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Paul begins, or ends this letter rather, with a mandate. He ends it with a command. He ends it with a order. He ends it with a mandate. Paul's giving this order to the church at Ephesus, just like the sweet Holy Ghost is giving this mandate to us this morning. He's saying to be strong in the Lord. It's a mandate this morning. It's a commandment this morning that we're strong in the Lord. He's saying we need to be strengthened in the Lord is the word. We need to be bold in the Lord is the word. He's saying that we need to be empowered or endued in the word, in the Lord. It's a mandate Paul gives. Every saved, every born-again believer this morning has the inerrant power, has that indwelled power of the Holy Ghost to be strong in the Lord. We can do everything that God commands us to do. We, this morning, we can do everything God has planned for us to do. We already heard the verse this morning, Ephesians. Our clubbers know it very well. Ephesians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. He didn't say who strengthens me, but he said I can do all things through Christ, which. That's His power. That's His might. That's that power that Paul is telling us to be strong in the Lord with. That's the mandate this morning. This letter comes to Fletcher First Baptist Church, and he's telling us, I want to encourage you. You're going to be facing some challenges. You're going to be facing some warfare here in just a few minutes to be strong in the Lord. In a time of political correctness, in a time where it seems like Christianity is the minority, in a time where it seems like that creationists are being viewed as ignorant, and in a time when it seems like this congregation seems to be old-fashioned and closed-minded, we need to be encouraged. We need to be encouraged this morning to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. See, in ourselves this morning, we're weak and we're feeble. In ourselves this morning, we're not able to stand. See, it's when we try to empower ourselves and undo ourselves that we can face the temptations, when we can face the problems, when we can face the issues that come in our lives and our families, when we're trying to be self-reliant, that is when we fail. Oh, Peter, he looked strong. Peter, the Apostle Peter, no doubt, would probably talk, and he was probably viewed as the strongest, most powerful disciple. He even said, Lord Jesus, he said, Lord, I would never deny you. He said, never, no, never, Lord, I will deny you. But you know the text. He said, I will go with you unto death, or unto prison, and even to death. But within 24 hours, the same day that Peter made that great statement, we know the story how he denied Christ three times. On April 10th, 2016, Jesus Christ, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, by the letter that Paul sent to the church of Ephesus, he's encouraging us with a mandate. He's saying, Fletcher, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You say, preacher, how are we going to be strong this morning? I think he goes on to tell us here in verse number 11. He says in verse 10, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Verse 11, he says, to put on the whole armor of God. I see this in this mandate, if we're going to be strong, I see number one, there's going to be a sinking into. Notice he says to put on. That word, pastor, to put on has a funny meaning. It means to sink down into. It means to sink down into. Some of you women this morning, you came to church and this morning before you, when you got dressed, you took that dress and you sank down into it. The men, you took your breeches and you pulled them on and you sank down into them. That's what Paul's saying. We need to put on. We need to sink down into. We need to be clothed and arrayed with the whole armor of God. You know, I'm afraid this morning, many of us, spiritually speaking, are walking around naked, vulnerable, open, an easy target, open to the world for this world warfare that we're fixing to face. He's saying we're going to be an easy target. You need to sink down into. You need to put on. You need to be arrayed with the whole armor of God. How are we going to be arrayed? Well, our young people said this morning, I think number one, we'll have to be arrayed through the written word. Look at verse number 17. He said to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Paul's telling us this morning, if you're going to put on this whole armor of God, hey Fletcher, if you're going to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, you're going to have to sink down into the written word. The Word of God. Every Wednesday night, that's what our leaders, that's what our directors, that's what our listeners try to do. They try to have our young people to sink down into, to be arrayed, to stand strong, to put on the written Word of God. They tell them it's alive. They tell them that the Word of God is holy. They tell them that the Word of God is inerrant, means it's without error. They tell them that this Word of God is infallible, meaning it's ever changing, it's everlasting. They're telling them that this Word of God is powerful. See, the Hebrews, verse number 6, chapter 6, verse 14 tells us, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even asunder, dividing the soul and spirit and the joints of marrow." It's quick. It's powerful. And we need to sink down into the Word of God. Paul's writing this letter. He's sitting in prison. He's probably chained or in some dungeon. And I believe Paul looks at a Roman soldier. And he sees that Roman soldier that's arrayed in battle armor. And he says, if we're going to stand strong, we need to be sent down into. We need to put on the written word. Number two, look at verse 15. He said, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Paul looks at that Roman soldier's feet. And he said, we need to have our feet shod. That Roman soldier would have had that thick, studded leather that would cover his sandals, ready to march to battle, ready to be prepared to go to battle. Paul's saying, number two, what we need to sink into is not only the written word, but we need to sink into a readiness, a preparation, ready to work, ready to witness, ready to promote the gospel, ready to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, ready to propagate what Jesus Christ, who He is, and what He's done for this lost and world. Ready to preach the good news. There's a readiness, Paul says, we need to put on. We need to have our feet shod with the preparation of gospel. For you horse lovers and farmers, when you see a horse and a horse is half shod, it means it has a horseshoes just on the front or on the back. I'm afraid many of us, we're not only walking around naked, spiritually speaking, but we're half shod this morning. He said we need to have a readiness to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. The theme verse for Awana, "Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, which will increase unto more ungodliness." See, we need to teach our children just like we do every Wednesday night that if you're going to take the Word of God, you have to be prepared. You have to have a readiness. You have to be on the lookout for what's coming ahead. We need to put it on. We need to sink down to the Word. We need to sink down to His works and His readiness. But number three, we need to sink into. We need to put on. We need to be arrayed. Look at verse 14. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness." I see number three. We need to have and put on and arrayed and be clothed in righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. You see, that Roman soldier would have been arrayed with that sword, which is the Word of God. He had his shoes shod with the preparation of the gospel, the good news. Now he's saying we're having the breastplate of righteousness. That breastplate would have covered the most vital, the most important organs of the human body. You see, this morning, it's not our righteousness. This morning, it's not our accomplishments. This morning, it's not what we've done or how good we are or our works. But it's the righteousness that Jesus Christ imputed unto us, that He's given unto us. That old song, we sing it, "When He sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb. And He sees me as worthy and not as I am." You see, it's God's righteousness that He gives to us. And you can only have this righteousness this morning if you're saved. If you're born again. If you've been forgiven of your sins, that's the only way you can partake of this breastplate of righteousness. Are you wearing His righteousness this morning? Or is it your righteousness that you are arrayed in? I guess what I'm asking this morning, are you saved? Are you born again? Have you ever been forgiven of your sins? You know, Jesus told Nicodemus, no doubt Nicodemus is probably one of the most righteous men in the entire King James Bible. I mean, he was a righteous man, and he told Nicodemus, he said, "Nicodemus, verily, verily," he said, "surely, surely, definitely, Nicodemus, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of heaven." You see, Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee. Nicodemus, he was a ruler of the Jews. He was more righteous than anyone in this congregation. Nicodemus, he kept all 613 commandments. Nicodemus, he could have quoted verbatim the first five books of your King James Bible. Nicodemus walked it, he talked it, he lived it. I mean, he was looking good. But if Nicodemus died, he would have spent eternity crawling the charred walls of hell. You see, Nicodemus was trying to make it to heaven on his righteousness. I wonder this morning, are you saved? Is it your righteousness or is it God's righteousness that you're clothed and arrayed in? If you're not saved this morning, this could be the last day that you're lost. You can go out those doors this morning saved with an assurance that you're on the way to heaven. You can pillow your head tonight knowing that if you was to die, you'd spend eternity in the presence of a sweet, holy, almighty God, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We need to be clothed. We need to be arrayed not only in the written word, not only in a readiness to work, but we need to be arrayed in the righteousness of God. Paul gives us a mandate. He says, I'm giving you an order, church, that you need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might to be clothed. Some things we need to put on this morning. Things we need to sink down into. But notice, and I'm trying to hurry, He not only gives us a mandate, but He gives us the match. Look at 12. Paul says to put on the, verse 11, to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Paul in verse 12 gives us a match that we're to face. He said, for we wrestle not. Paul's telling us there's going to be a match that we're facing. There's going to be a struggle that we're involved in. There's going to be a warfare or a fight that we're going to be facing. And we're wrestling not. This match is not against flesh and blood. This match, this struggle, this war is not against humanity. You see, this morning we're not wrestling against the sodomites. This morning we're not fighting against liberal judges that have some political agenda. We're not even fighting against some group, anti-God group, ACLU, or whoever that's against God. That's not our match. That's not what we're wrestling against this morning. But we're wrestling against principalities. These principalities, it's a funny word, Brother Jason. It means the first one. The principalities, it means the leader or the highest of rank. You see, this morning we're wrestling against none other than Satan himself. The first one, the one in the highest rank, and against the powers and the rulers and wickedness in high places. See, it's not against flesh and blood. Paul's saying, you're going to have to be strong, Fletcher. You're going to have to be strong in the Lord. And this match, it's not carnal, but it's spiritual. What does he say about this match? I think three things, and I'm closing. Number one, in this match, it's going to be a rigorous match. It's going to be a rigorous, relentless match. He says we wrestle not. You see that word wrestle in your text? It means to vibrate. It means to shake intently. Paul's saying in this match, you're going to be grabbed a hold of and you're going to be vibrated. You're going to be shook and you're going to be tossed to and fro. It's going to be a rigorous match. I've never seen before, Pastor, how Satan is attacking the families of our churches. I mean, he comes to our families and it seems like he's grabbing good families, God-fearing families, God-trusting families, and he's shaking them. He's vibrating them, tossing them to and fro. Paul's saying in this match, church, if you're not strong, it's going to be a rigorous match. You're going to be vibrated. You're going to be shaken. Are you prepared this morning? Hey, church, are you ready for this match? Church, are you ready? Or have you put on the whole armor of God? He goes on to tell us in 1 Corinthians, wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand, take heed, lest he fall. I pray you're prepared this morning. He's trying to encourage us. He's trying to forewarn us, church, that we need to put on some things. This match is rigorous. Number two, I see in this match, there's going to be some resistance. Notice five times in verse number 12, Paul uses the word against. Five times in verse 12, he said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. See, in this match, it's not only be a rigorous, a shaking match, but it's going to be a resistant match. That word against means to someone. It means in front of someone. It has the word picture of being face to face. It has the word picture of being nose to nose or eye to eye, ready to do battle, ready to fight. Paul's saying in this match, there's going to be some resistance. Resistance among the ungodly. A resistance among the world. There may even be some resistance among the brethren. Resistance among the beloved. Those that you think stand with you, there's going to be some resistance. See, John the Baptist, begin to think about John the Baptist. He came preaching repentance for the remission of sin. And everyone accepted John the Baptist. They loved John the Baptist. Even the Pharisees, the religious sect, they accepted and took in John the Baptist. But it wasn't until John the Baptist started preaching about righteousness, when he started to name out sin, when he started to hoe in certain people's row, is when he began to have resistance. You see, John the Baptist told Herod, he said, Herod, it's wrong to have another man's wife unless you're married. He said, Herod, it's wrong to be and to sleep with another man's wife. And then he faced resistance. You see, if you're going to live righteous, if you're going to promote the Word of God, if you're going to put on this whole armor of God and you stand for the Word of God, if you put on the righteousness of God, there's going to be some resistance. If you live right, young people, you're going to face some resistance. Young ladies, if you dress right, you're going to face some resistance. If you go to the right places, you're going to face some resistance. You see, it's a Bible doctrine we don't preach much. We don't hear much about in Baptist churches anymore. But it's still okay, church, to be separated, to be set apart. Paul goes on to tell us. He said, to be not unequally yoked with together with unbelievers. For what fellowship had righteousness with unrighteous, and what communion had light with darkness. To be separate, church, we're going to face some resistance. We see it's going to be a rigorous match. I see number two, it's going to be a resistant match. I see number three, and trying to close, it's going to be a resolute match. This match has already been decided. There's one that's already made up his mind that he's going to battle. Paul didn't say we might wrestle. Paul didn't say that you may have a struggle here and there. Paul said, hey, church families, you might go to battle. He didn't say that. He said, for we wrestle. See, it's a resolute match. It's going to happen. These principalities, these powers, these rulers in dark places, they've already made their mind up. They're already determined, is the word, that it's going to happen. A verse that's been on my mind the past few weeks. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Peter, why are you warning us? Paul, why have you sent this letter to Fletcher First Baptist, this church, to warn us? He says, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about. He's saying our adversary, this principality, these powers, these rulers and wickedness in high places, that they're walking about. It means they're proceeding to. It means they're moving toward. Do you realize this morning, the devil, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Paul's warning us, church, the devil is coming. He's coming to steal, to kill, and destroy. He's coming that he's going to may devour you and your family. How can I ruin their testimony? How can I ruin their children's future? How can I tear apart their marriage? How can I ruin all that they live for and promote in Jesus Christ? It's going to be a rigorous match. There's going to be a resistant match. And this match has already been determined by Satan. It's going to be a resolute match that he's coming. But he said, but be sober. Be on the watch. Be on the lookout. Be vigilant because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know, that's my message this morning. Not a message to shout and to praise and to run the aisles on. But I think it's a warning from Paul to encourage our young people. A warning for our church. A letter to Fletcher First Baptist. To be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Just one question if we'll all stand. Are you prepared? Had you put on the whole armor of God? What are you arrayed in this morning? Are you arrayed in the written Word of God? Are you arrayed in His righteousness? Are you saved? Are you prepared? I'm the last missed if you'll come and play something or sing something, whatever the Lord lays on your heart. This altar's open. Whatever your need is, maybe you want to come and say, Paul, I heed the warning. Paul, I understand that you written it to Ephesus, but I understand it's written to me this morning that I need to be sober. I'm going to face a match, and I need to be encouraged to be strong in the Lord. Whatever your need is this morning, this altar's open. Father, we thank you this morning for the Word of God. We thank you this morning, Father, for our children, for the Awana children, for the desire you've given those to work with our children to share the Word of God. Lord, I pray that we could take heed. We could heed the warning, Father, that we need to put on some things, the whole armor of God this morning. Have our feet shod with the preparation of gospel. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Have our loins girt about with truth and have that breastplate of righteousness. God, help us heed the warning. Help us, Father, to be diligent in this match. For we know it's coming. Let us be prepared. Lord, maybe there's someone here this morning that's lost. That's never been born again. Father, that's why you came, to seek and to save those which are lost. Let them see their need of salvation. Let them realize, Father, that those that are saved have been in the same position they are, under the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we love you this morning. We praise you, we honor you, we bless you in everything that you've done, all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Whatever your need is this morning, this altar is open.